What's up, guys? Thank you so much for tuning into the Schooled in Social Change podcast. I'm Lucas Souza.
And I'm Fish.
And we are both senior students at George Washington University studying international affairs. We're very excited to get into this episode, which delves into the complex nature and themes of graffiti movements in Senegal and the hip hop scene in Langa, South Africa, drawing unique connections and comparisons between these two settings and artistic movements.
We'll also explore how specific educational initiatives in the countries help foster a new generation of hip-hop visionaries.
First, we go to Dakar, Senegal. Senegal is a country known for its rich cultural heritage, which has been a hub for artistic expression for centuries. Reflecting on my own personal interests, having watched Ousmane Sembene's films, The Father of African Cinema, or having seen Iba Ndiaye's artwork in museums, who's a well-known modernist painter, Senegal is a hub of creativity and cultural innovation. But in recent decades, a new form of art has emerged on its streets, blending creativity with activism in a powerful way. That's graffiti. Picture this: bustling streets adorned with colorful murals, each telling a story, conveying a message, or challenging the status quo. This is the essence of the graffiti movement in Senegal, where walls serve as canvases for social commentary. But why graffiti? What makes it such a potent tool for expression? To understand this, we have to delve into the socio-political landscape of Senegal. In a country where freedom of speech can sometimes be restricted, graffiti provides a voice to the voiceless, a platform for dissent, and a means of resistance. Senegal does stand as a stalwart of democracy in the Sahel, a region that has been ridden by more than 8 coups in the past 4 years. Macky Sall, Senegal's previous president, initiated political chaos after delaying the 2024 elections and jeopardizing Senegal's democratic legacy and political stability, not to mention the jailing of popular opposition members like Ousmane Sonko, who is now prime minister. This very recent chaos uncovered a familiar artistic side of Senegalese protesters who have used graffiti, music, and art to incentivize change in their communities. At its core, Senegalese graffiti is deeply intertwined with politics. It serves as a visual protest against corruption, inequality, and oppression. From critiquing government policies to advocating for human rights, graffiti artists in Senegal are not afraid to challenge authority through their art. One of the most iconic figures in Senegal's graffiti scene is the collective known as Yen Mar, which translates to "enough is enough." Born out of frustration with the political establishment, this group uses graffiti as a tool for mobilization, inspiring citizens to demand change and hold their leaders accountable. Our spring 2024 class spoke with certain members in this movement, and although graffiti wasn't a standout subject in conversation, it was visible through pictures and demonstrations that the spray can played a huge role in boosting the message of the movement around the streets of Dakar. But it's not just about dissent. Senegalese graffiti also celebrates the country's rich cultural heritage, paying homage to its musical traditions, religious practices, and historical figures. In doing so, it fosters a sense of unity and pride among the people, reminding them of their resilience in the face of adversity.
And to reference Dr. Clark's book, Hip Hop in Africa, to quote, hip hop artists link hip hop with traditional Senegalese rhyme styles and culture, as well as the Set Setal, Be Clean or Make Clean youth movement of the 1980s. In this context, graffiti is seen as part of a beautification project. Unlike in many cities in Dakar, according to scholar Rabin, graffiti on public spaces is not illegal and does not come with negative associations with criminal or outlaw behavior. Yeah, and I even saw this when I was in Senegal back in January. There's graffiti, you know, all over. When you're driving anywhere on the highway, you'll see it pretty much everywhere in Dakar and in Saint-Louis as well. And graffiti is often seen as beautifying the city. Senegalese graffiti artists, like hip hop artists in the country, they're conscious of their links to a broader hip hop culture, as well as their place and responsibility in Senegalese culture. Graffiti in Senegal, like the music, often has a political tone with several pieces commenting on social and political topics. And you know, that's definitely seen in other countries too. I know in Egypt, that was also the case with their graffiti.
So I thought it would also be important to kind of visualize some examples that I found in a UNICEF documentary about Set Setal, which was the mentioned movement of graffiti expression in Dakar and in Senegal. So just from watching a documentary from I think it was 2008, 2010, you could see some of the artists and the different kind of projects they were working on and how it really resonated with the members of the community. This was really just an example of how a group of people can use their cultural heritage to improve social conditions in their community. One example could be there was a picture, an image of a brain cut in half that has exploded. It was kind of a provocative work of art, but that really was to represent the risk and danger of taking drugs. And I think that's something that was probably stood out to many people walking around the streets of Dakar at the time. And that's was really the purpose and objective of the artist. Another one might be that unemployment was a main reason that people were taking drugs, and them joining an effort to improve social conditions and encourage people to maybe take on sports. So there were images of, people running and different fitness images kind of to motivate the people. And there was even a literacy campaign that was used by teaching people who never got to school how to read and write, and especially during the holidays. So there was one graffiti image of alphabetization in French, and it was kind of a bunch of different letters and going into someone's head. So it was, a creative image to help spread awareness and to also inform the public in Dakar of the different movements that they had and the importance of them in society. Another article from Africa News dives into a graffiti school, the RBS Academia, that has opened in Senegal by Sergine Mansour Fall, who goes by Madzu. And he is one of the 25 members of the founding collective and assures that the school, created in December 2021, has no equivalent in Senegal or even in Africa. He wanted it to be a place to meet, exchange, and share know-how. The article reads that the objective is to bring our share of heritage, to train young professionals so that they are useful to society and to help people become aware of the issues of their time. Graffiti appeared in Senegal in the late 1980s, along with spontaneous youth movement, which we mentioned before, Setsatal, which meant literally clean and make clean. These young people fought against instability in the capital and its suburbs, and after having cleaned the neighborhoods, drew on the walls images of marabous in order to dissuade the inhabitants from throwing their garbage in the street again, says Madzu. However, the impact of Senegalese graffiti extends beyond its borders. It has become a symbol of resistance for oppressed communities across the African continent, inspiring similar movements in countries like Mali, Burkina Faso, and the DRC. So the next time you walk down the streets of Senegal, take a moment to appreciate the vibrant murals that adorn its walls. They are not just works of art, but powerful statements of defiance, resilience, and hope in the face of adversity.
Yeah, and I also think, even if you're just walking down the street, in DC or wherever you might be in the US, I think it's important to kind of take in this viewpoint of graffiti as art and kind of embrace that, because I think graffiti definitely gets a bad rap here, and to see, Senegal trying to change that narrative is really awesome. While graffiti has been gaining a greater recognition in Senegal, now we're going to turn to South Africa, and how, different educational initiatives there, are improving the reputation of hip hop, especially DJing. So before we jump in, to talking about Bridges for Music, in Lwanga, South Africa, I first want to give us some context about, where we are, some context about Lwanga and its history, especially in apartheid. So Lwanga is a township in Cape Town, South Africa. It's located about 15 kilometers from city center. And Lwanga is called the Mother Township, because it was the first Black township in Cape Town. And for those of you who don't know, actually, Cape Town is called the Mother City. So it's kind of a play on that. So Lwanga was first established in 1927. And the reason for that is in 1923, the apartheid government passed the Urban Areas Act, which restricted Black South Africans from living in cities like Johannesburg and Cape Town, and they removed them from voting rolls. So Black populations became relegated to townships far away from the job opportunities in urban areas. And the apartheid regime created these townships in a way to maximize surveillance and control. So townships kind of became a sort of panopticon, with the police always watching the people. And I just want to point out that even though these laws were, you know, almost 100 years ago, they still shape the demographic makeup of Cape Town today. Those in townships still now, they commute on overcrowded taxis for over an hour to reach their jobs. And so we can definitely still see that in Lwanga and in places like the Cape Flats in Cape Town today. So Lwanga has a long history of protest, particularly in the anti-apartheid movement, starting in the 1960s. So in March 1960, Lwanga was the starting point of an anti-pass protest march to Caledon Square in District 6 of Cape Town. So the government in 1960, they passed a series of laws to restrict the free movement of Black South Africans. Like I mentioned, they already forced them into the townships. And now with this new law, they required them to carry lots of tedious documentation to enter what they considered white areas in the city center. And even with this documentation, oftentimes Black South Africans were denied access anyways. So this march in March of 1960 was over 50,000 people. And it really spurred this anti-pass movement, which culminated in the Sharpeville Massacre, which I think we all know about, when the South African police fired into crowds of Black people, killing and wounding, you know, almost 250 people. So Lwanga's reputation as a driver of social change is definitely cemented within South African history.
The protest spirit in Lwanga from the 1960s continues to this day. Just last August, high school students from Lwanga held a demonstration demanding the local government to improve school safety. They cited concerns of drugs, violence, and weapons use in school buildings. The youth in Lwanga are really driving social change in their township, but an awesome nonprofit has been working to channel the desire for change through music, and that's Bridges for Music, which started a music school called Bridges Academy in Lwanga in 2013. Bridges Academy offers free courses in talent development, DJing and music production, and provides mentorship from some incredible South African artists like the legendary Dope St. Jude. Bridges Academy offers free courses in talent development, DJing and music production, and provides mentorship from some incredible South African artists like the legendary Dope St. Jude. Bridges Academy's mission is to help South Africans break out of cycles of poverty and trauma and empower young talent from underserved communities to become change makers.
So far, 240 students have graduated from the academy, and that number is growing every single year. And so today, we have a very special guest, one of those artists from Bridges Academy. And he's originally from the Eastern Cape, but he moved to the Western Cape to enroll in Bridges Academy. So today we have DJ Blackish. Blackish is an alumnus of Bridges Academy, where he took courses on DJing and music production. And since graduating, he returns to Bridges Academy to give tours of the facility and of Lwanga itself to visitors. And he even teaches them some of the skills that he gained. That's how I met Blackish last year in Cape Town. And I must say, I definitely need more than one DJ lesson to get the hang of everything. On top of musical skills that Blackish learned, he also received instruction on the business side of artistry at Bridges.
So it's one of the things I've learned, you know, how to market yourself as a brand, you know, how to sell yourself, how to speak about your brand, you know, how to approach brands. So that's one of the things I've learned, and it's one of the things that I've applied in a lot of time. I mean, how to working with the booking agency, you know, I'm going to play at the festival. So that's one of the things I've learned, you know.
That festival Blackish is referring to is Africa Burn. It's South Africa's version of Burning Man. He's hoping this high profile gig will increase his exposure on the hip hop scene in the country. While Blackish recognizes the social and political change that music can affect, he says that's not really the reason he decided to pursue this type of career.
Yeah, definitely there's more political issues in the music scene. I mean, you know, there's a lot of political issues, but I try to avoid them, you know, because, I mean, for me, music is something I love, you know. It's something that makes me be, you know, it's something, it's the only place I'm vulnerable at. So I doubt politics is one of the things that are in my mind, but there's a lot of politics in music. So I think we as artists, we some sort of see ourselves as different brands. So there's artists that just do music for the fame, And then there's artists that does music for the love of art. And then there's artists that that just do music because they love it. No, it's not a career, it's anything. So I would say I'm one of those artists that does music because of its art.
Despite not releasing political statements in his own work, Black-ish hopes to raise awareness of the sounds he views as inherently African, like amapiano and Afrobeats. In this way, he wants to change the hip-hop scene and be a positive representation of South Africa in the industry. He wants to stay true to what he views as real hip-hop and not simply conform to what is popular.
Artists that does music for the money, does music for the whatever spotlight. You know, it's really hard for people like J. Cole, people like Kendrick Lamar, because those people, they're going to write music that's going to resonate with people, that's going to teach people. But some other people that like that do like a trap, a hip hop, you know, it's easy for them because that's what people want, you know. So it's hard for people like us who does the actual hip hop, not the trap hip hop. Because people are also used to this, you know, the vibey hip hop. If you get me.
Black-ish is currently working on a new album entitled The Vortex, which will drop in either June or July. In this upcoming work, he draws inspiration from the people closest to him, especially the friends and family that shaped him in his childhood. He embodies Bridges Academy's goal of breaking out of cycles to reach full artistic potential. So definitely be on the lookout for Black-ish soon. We hear he's looking to perform in the U.S. Now that we've covered hip-hop initiatives in Senegal and South Africa, we want to offer some of our closing thoughts.
Looking at both Senegal and South Africa, these two countries' populations have strongly demonstrated their resilience through artistic means, placing their respective countries on a more promising trajectory towards stability. On the one hand, you have Senegal, a country that has historically been named a beacon of democracy, but whose people have faced social and political adversity in recent months due to election delays and political constraints on the opposition. On the other hand, South Africa is a country that faces a myriad of political and social issues in the midst of a highly contested upcoming election, but at one point in history, was a global leader for change and equality. Through the lens of hip-hop and graffiti, we can better understand these complex issues that Senegal and South Africa are grappling with and use artistic expression as a powerful medium for driving change and inspiring future generations.
Yeah, and I think, you know, these schools and these social movements have been really important in driving that social change, because I think hip-hop is often seen as an option of last resort. It's, you know, what people do when they don't have any other job options. But these schools in Senegal and South Africa, they really attempt to flip that narrative and tell the youth that pursuing music, pursuing hip hop, it's a valid option. And it does require serious training. You know, it's not just some guy, you know, getting on a mic or going up to the DJ stand or taking a can to the street. DJing and graffiti require a honing of skills. And so by offering educational environments like RBS Academia and Bridges Academy, the youth in these countries can really realize their full potential as artists. And while the artists in these schools, like when we just talked to Black-ish, might not produce work for the sole purpose of social change, their mere participation in programs like this facilitates social change in itself. You know, this talent from underserved communities is given the opportunity to thrive and to redefine their position in life. So I really think, you know, that's the essence of this. The art itself doesn't need to be a driver of social change. I think just the pursuit of art for art's sake is that change. Thanks for tuning in for today's episode of Schooled in Social Change. We hope you got a better sense of some important hip hop and artistic initiatives in South Africa and Senegal. We'll see you next time when we explore breakdancing schools in Nigeria.
And until then, stay inspired, stay empowered, and keep spreading the message of change. Peace.